Cloudy outside. Amen. I know it's the rain. Doesn't look so nice. Amen. But this is definitely a day that the Lord has
made.
That's
right.
And we need to rejoice and be glad. And this time we're going to keep the younger children here, but we're going to release the children that are 12 years and up to go to children's ministry. Our young people staff are here. But at this time, those that are 12 up, they need to go to the back. Amen.
Yeah.
As I said, I know it's not so great outside, and probably in most of our lives and situations, we have some tremendous challenges. Amen. I know, I think it was Tuesday, we got one call after another. Amen. My wife said, can it get any worse? And it just continued to snowball and get worse. But I thank God. Amen. I saw her mindful of what Job did. The Bible says, Job received one bad report after another. Amen. One thing after another. The scripture said, Job arose, and he ripped his mantle and shaved his head, and he fell on the ground and worshiped. Amen. That's an example for us to follow in the midst of hard times. Don't get so far away from God. It's still time to worship. Job said, naked came I out of my father's womb, mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord has given, God has taken away, but most of all, blessed be the name of the Lord. So I don't know what you might be going through tonight, but it's time to worship and bless the Lord anyhow.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to ask you to stand for our scripture reading, which will be coming from Galatians chapter 5. Amen. As Sister Patricia said, amen, we were blessed last night to be in fellowship with Pastor Thomas for the 46th convention, annual convention. Amen. And Pastor Harper's message was, after you get yours, help me to get mine.
Right.
After you get yours, help me to get mine. That kind of kills that selfish spirit.
Right.
And their motto or the theme of the convention was blessed to be a blessing. Blessed to be a blessing. And we just thank God on this evening. Amen. We're going to start off reading verses 1 through 9, and then we'll skip down to read verses 16 and 17 together of Galatians chapter 5. Can I get an amen?
Hey.
Can I get an amen of victory?
Hey.
Can I get an amen because God has done something for you?
Hey.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. I might not feel it in my flesh, but down in my spirit. Amen. I gotta give our young guys some mics. He said, amen. I hear him, Lord.
Right.
I don't know which one of them it is, but they said, amen. Thank you, Jesus. I like that.
Right.
Amen. Let us start. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these two are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye will. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for the reading of your word. Lord, we thank you for a place to assemble and for a mind to assemble ourselves together. Lord, we thank you for the obedience that we ought not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And Lord, as we sit tonight and as we meditate on thy word and on thy spirit, Lord, we say speak. Oh God, speak to every trial that we have in our life. Lord, the unexpected things. Lord, the things that seem to come out of nowhere, Lord, speak. And then give us a mind just to be still and to know that thou art God. Lord, give us a mind to stand still so that we can see thy salvation. Now, Lord, we trust and believe that whatsoever we ask by faith in your name, you will do it. Lord, send thou thine anointing. Lord, may it break every yoke. Lord, may it break those that are bruised in spirit. Lord, may it set at liberty those that are captive. Lord, tonight may the word of God have free course. Now, Lord, send your word to find us out, to heal, deliver, and set free. And for this we thank you. Can we all say in Jesus' name? Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Amen. As I stated earlier, you know, it seems like instead of things getting better, sometimes they seem to be getting worse. Now, I didn't say they're getting worse. I say they seem to be getting worse. Amen. But we know the scripture says that if God be for you, who then can be against you? If God is on our side and he's standing in the gap, amen. I believe in the book of Psalm chapter 3 says he'll be a shield all around us. God will be. Psalm 34 says the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. Amen. So tonight we realize it is not by, we're not alone, that indeed God is with us. And we want to deal with a subject tonight, and the subject is subtle regression. Amen. Subtle regression. You know, and if I was praying, actually I was talking to someone a little earlier in the week, and I couldn't get away from this thought. Subtle regression. And you know, subtle is when something happens gradually. Amen. It's not something that happens all at once. Subtle regression is something that happens subtly and you don't realize it. But the regression is you're going from a present state to a former state, or from a present spiritual condition to a former spiritual condition. Amen? So we're dealing with subtle regression. I want to come back to this. Can we go to 1 Peter chapter 3 for one quick second? 1 Peter chapter 3. Now, when we got saved, God saves our soul, but he does not save our flesh. Amen? When we got saved, God saved our soul, but he did not save our flesh. And all of us came from a different walk of life. We all had different idiosyncrasies, different things that affected us. Some people were alcoholics. Some people had drug addiction. Some people, everyone had a different type of addiction or some different type of impact or something that influenced or controlled them. And in the book of Ephesians, it talks about us being governed, and then Romans also talks about us being governed or controlled by the motions of sin that was in our flesh. All right, I think we'll get to that later. Possibly, maybe we want. But there are dominance. There are some things that dominated us before we got saved. Well, when God saved us, he saved our soul, but not our flesh. Amen. So there are some things that are still resident in our flesh from before we got saved. And the only thing that keeps those things under control is walking in the Spirit. Okay, but let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3, and we'll go to verse 15. I try and build this up for us, because what will happen, sometimes we get a little spiritually out of sync. And we think that we have actually failed God or we let God down because of the reactions. The reaction happens because we're not walking in the spirit, but we're walking in the flesh. So those old appetites, amen, every last one of us knew the things that moved us wrong or things that had a negative impact on us before we got saved. Well, God did not take that out of our flesh. Verse 15 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks of you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." So we want to set the Lord apart in our hearts, having a what kind of conscience? Good conscience. Remember that? That's a very key scripture, a key portion of the scripture. Having what kind of a conscience? A good conscience. "Whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation," that means conduct, "in Christ. For it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer with well doing than for evil doing." Okay, so it's better. So now let's go down to verse 21. So we want to suffer, but let's suffer according to the will of God. For what kind of doing? Well doing. And we want to have what kind of a conscience? Good conscience. So the conscience is critically important in us being saved. And in us not going or being sunk or going into subtle regression to a former state. It says, "Likewise, whereunto even baptism doth also now what? Save us." So when we get baptized, it saves us. Amen? Hello?
Amen.
All right. Where my little guys at? Amen. Give them some mics over there. I hear them. Amen. So baptism, it says, doth now save us. But what? Not the putting away the what? Filth of the flesh. So when we get saved, God saves our souls, our heart, our conscience, or the mental faculty part of us that governs us to do the right thing. When we get saved, it's a good conscience. It says, but the answer of it, what? Good conscience towards God. But what does it say? Does not put away the what? Filth of the flesh. So what that means is those inclinations, those things that had really the control over you before you got saved, they're still in the flesh. Amen. Because he did not change the flesh. He only changes the spirit, the soul, and the conscience. It's our responsibility to stay in Christ. Amen. It's our responsibility to walk in the Spirit. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, and then we'll go back to Galatians chapter 5. So when God saved us, he did not save our flesh. Amen? He saved our souls. And what he did, he helped us answer to a good conscience towards God. Now what happens is when we allow things to impact our conscience, it starts taking us away from God. It starts taking us away from righteousness. It starts to take us away from holiness. So God saves our souls. God helps us to answer with a clear conscience. But from that point of God saving us on, the decisions we make will either excuse us or it will accuse us before God. Amen? So those tendencies that we had, like we said, God did not take away the filth of the flesh or those negative inclinations we had before we got saved. If you're an alcoholic, it's still there. Amen. If you have nicotine issues, it's still there. Some people have problems with pornography, it's still there. Some people have problems lying before they got saved, it's still resident there. Some people have problems stealing, it's still there. Others have problems with profanity and just a foul mouth is still there. Some others have problems with anger and attitude issues. It's still resident in the flesh. The only reason it will not find expression is we have to stay in Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, let's go to verse 1. It says, and you have been quickened. I mean, God made us alive spiritually. Amen. We were already alive, but we really were dead. So you have been quickened who were dead in what? Those trespasses and sins, they're still resident in your body. Amen. If you have some fetishes, some bad stuff that used to bother you before you got saved, alright, everybody, you got it. Okay, y'all, everybody's so holy and righteous, but you got it. It's in there. Amen. Those in your secrecies are still there. Those negative influences are still there. So what happens when you stop praying like you ought to pray? When you stop building yourself up spiritually, then there will be a subtle regression. What makes it subtle is you're not even aware that you're going back and you're practicing some of those bad habits. Amen. Paul in the book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 says, the weapons of our warfare are not what? Carnal, but they are what? Mighty, but how? Through God. The way that we conquer those negative influences, the way that we conquer all of those things of the past is through Christ, not outside of Christ, not by willpower, not by our own purposing in our hearts and in our minds, but the way that we overcome them is through Christ. The Bible says to the pulling down of bad habits, those negative influences that try to dominate our lives. Through Christ, we pull them down. Now, when we start getting outside of the Spirit of Christ, when we start getting outside of walking in the Spirit and begin to walk in the flesh, all of those bad things will begin to try to find a way to express themselves. It's like they call it, it's an appetite of the what? Flesh. Amen. So, there's a whole lot of things I didn't like. I had a whole lot of bad habits. But, sometimes even when you're praying, those bad habits will try to find some expression. But when you're spiritual, the devil can't attack you because you can see him coming. Remember, Paul said that the weapons of our warfare are not what? Carnal, but they are mighty through God. He said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not the person that's the enemy. But we wrestle against principalities, against powers, against spiritual darkness and against darkness in high places, against spiritual wickedness in high places, against the spiritual darkness of this world. So the devil is constantly trying to get us to fall. Well, he can't get us to fall by affecting us with the things on this side of the cross. So the only way that he can really get us to go back is he keeps fighting in our flesh the things that were before we got saved. Amen. You get saved, you say, well, God, I purpose in my heart I'll never do this again. But then you don't pray and you allow your mind to start wandering into younger places that they shouldn't be in. And before you know it, the old things start creeping back in. And then your mind, you say, well, when I got saved, I thought God helped me to overcome that. Yes, as long as you stay in Christ and in the Spirit. So Paul says, and you have been quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, when in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. When we get saved, we're no longer walking by the standards, the rudiments of this world, but we have been transformed by the renewing of our mind. And because our minds have been renewed and we've been changed, we have a good conscience. The minute your conscience begins to get polluted, the minute your conscience begins to accept things that are not in Christ, you will slowly but surely begin to drift back to a former state, which is not good. It said, according to the course of this world, according to the prince the power of the what?
Air.
So God quickened us. He saved us from the influences that were in this world. Amen. It says, according to the principle of the power, the spirit that now worketh in what? The children of. So the devil knows. For him to have the influence over us, for him to have that subtle spiritual regression, for us to go back, we have to be disobedient. It's the what spirit that now worketh in the children of what? Disobedient. So we know there are two spirits that exist in the world. There's the spirit of God, and then there's the spirit of the devil. Amen? Those are the only two spirits that exist. So if we are not being influenced and dominated by the Spirit of God, then the devil will try to influence us through the spirit of disobedience. Amen. To him that knoweth to do good. Hallelujah. It didn't say you guess. It didn't say you might try to figure it out. But to him that knoweth to do good, and to him that doeth it what?
Not.
So the devil knows that all of us know to do good. But to get the influence over us, he gets us to be disobedient to God. The very first man and the first woman that existed lost their place in paradise because of one spirit, the spirit of disobedience. They weren't alcoholics. They didn't have drug problems. They weren't fornicators. They were just disobedient. Amen. So the devil knows that if he can get us to disobey God, then he can have the dominance of the greater influence over us. Among whom also we all have our conversations, what? In the times past. Not in the times present, but in the times past. All right? So the devil is not going to get us to work on our present and our future. He wants to get us in, keep us in the past. Amen? Conversation in the time past in the only way he can control us is through the lust of our flesh. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and mind. Subtle regression is the devil trying to take control or dominate you through the desires of your flesh and mind in opposition or in disobedience to God. So if we know the right thing to do and what we choose of our own volition to do the wrong thing, we become the children of wrath and the children of disobedience. Let's read the latter part of this. And we're by nature the children of what? Disobedience and wrath. So the devil constantly, he's plotting, he's conniving, he's trying to set us up. You have set time aside to pray and read your Bible, and the devil knows him. If they pray and read their Bible, I will not have the influence. I won't have that control. So in the middle, right before they pray, I have somebody call them with an emergency. And you know what they're going to do? They're not going to set that time aside for God. They're going to try and have somebody else in their emergency. Then when you finish that emergency, then he will come with you with something else. Why? He's trying to distract us spiritually. He's trying to get us not to be in tune with God. Because Paul said, our victory is through Jesus. The only way that the strongholds in our lives, those are those appetites in the flesh that try to dominate us. I don't care how high you get spiritually. Your flesh did not get saved. Those negative influences are still resident there. How do you know? Stop praying. Amen. Stop reading your Bible. Stop coming to church. And you will slowly begin to regress back. And then all of a sudden you will look at yourself and say, what happened? Now let's go back to Galatians chapter 5. Amen. So those appetites are still resident in your flesh. Because when we got saved, he did not put away the what of the flesh? The filth of the flesh. Amen. But what did he do? He cleansed our souls and helped us to answer with a good conscience before God. Now, if you want to tell where you are spiritually with God, what does your conscience say? Amen. What is your conscience doing? All right, don't go there. Let's go to Romans chapter 2 first. First John chapter 2. Amen. Romans chapter 2. Our conscience is so valuable in us being right with God. If your conscience is not right before God, and God did not cleanse our flesh, the only thing that he did, we had a good conscience towards God. So if a good conscience is toward God, what is the bad conscience for? Amen? The good conscience is towards God. Well, that bad conscience, that conscience is in the gray area, is not towards God. All right, let me go to Romans chapter 2, hold on, right quick. Let me find this verse for you, because I wasn't planning on using this, but I know it's in here somewhere. Hold on, give me one quick moment. Verse 13. Actually, let's start with verse 11. We're dealing with the conscience, we're dealing with a subtle regression. Once again, that's you returning to a former state, which would be a state of ungodliness or influence from the devil without being aware of it. All right, verse 11 says, "For there is what? No respect of person with God." We can show a lot of partiality. Amen. But God says, "My word is my word. And I will not change it for the bishop. I will not change it for the elder. I will not change it for the pastor. I will not change it for the Sunday school teachers. Neither will I change it for the ushers. My word is my word. And with God, there is what? No respect of persons. For as many have sinned without the law, shall also perish without law. And as many have sinned in the law, shall be judged by the law. For the hearers of the law are not just before God." It's not enough just to come to church and hear. Amen. Just the hearers of God's word, they are not what? Just. Just means to be in good standing or right before God. So just because you hear it does not make you right. Amen? So it's not just hearing the word that makes you right. But the what? Doers of the law shall be justified. God justifies us all by faith, but not just hearing. We must not be hearers of the law, but we must be doers. You read James 1. He talks about those that are just hearers of the law, they deceive themselves. Amen. So that we do not slowly slip back to a former spiritual state in wrath and in disobedience to God, we must be doers of the law. The next verse reads, "For when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law, a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts." Amen. Righteousness is in the heart. Salvation is in the heart. Heart, mind, and soul many times are interchangeable. So it's in our hearts, it's in our soul, it's in our minds. Also bearing witness, their thoughts, there's a meaning of what?
Accusing
or excusing. So if your thoughts are means of accusing or excusing you or accusing you, we all need to make a gut check tonight and say, "Lord, where am I at spiritually?" With God, we can't just pull the wool over God's eyes and make God think one thing when God sees another. We are supposed to answer to God with a what kind of conscience?
Good.
Good conscience. Amen. The challenge tonight is not what he said to influence it. They said, what does your conscience say to you, say about you to God? You must have a what kind of conscience? Good conscience. Peter said it's not to put away the filth of the flesh, but it's the answer to what kind of conscience? Good conscience to God. Now let's go to 1 John chapter 3. And then we'll go back to Galatians chapter 5. Hey, somebody said, when I teach that whole Bible, I'm going to use a whole lot of it, but I won't use it all. Is that right? Amen. I won't use it all. So, it's just that sometimes when you're teaching, even though you study, depending, this is how God works, how the anointing works. You can purpose one way to teach or bring something out. But because we're supposed to be led by the Spirit as we go, God will alter that sometimes. Amen. God will put a different spin on it because of some of the spiritual needs that are in the congregation. Amen. So it could have been one way all week, but something could have happened today. Amen. And when we were preparing, it had not yet happened, so God would not give us that leading. But then God, you come to church, something could have happened yesterday or today. So Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, the men are going to be in the man, but Thursday, something happened. And God said, I'm not going to change you now, but because these are my people, amen, and God's desire is that we are saved and make it to heaven, God said, when you get to church, then I'm going to send that anointing to destroy that yoke. So when we get there, God will change it. Amen? So 1 John chapter 3, I think it's verse 15. Hold on, let me find it so you don't jump all around. Hold on a second. 3, 10, no, that way. All right, verse 18. Verse 18 says, my little children, let us not love what? In word, or in tongue. In other words, you just can't hear God's word. Amen? But in deed and in truth. We do not love just in word and in tongue as a hearer of the word, but we must be a doer of the word and a doer of the works to do it in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth. When we do it in deed and in truth, we know we are the truth, and we do what? Assure our hearts before God. No guessing, we assure. Next verse read. For if our hearts condemn us, amen, we want to ask for good conscience before God. If our hearts condemn us, God is what? Greater than our hearts, and he knoweth if tonight. Amen. We know how we live. We know how we act. We know how we respond. If we can say, it's well with my soul and there's no condemnation, I'm all right. But if I, now I'm not talking about your heart condemning you over little things. I'm talking about when we are in defiance, when we in complete opposition to God, when we know the word and we know the truth, when we choose to do our own thing. That's what we're talking about now. That your heart is condemning you. You knew God was leading you not to say that. You knew God was leading you not to do that, but you did it anyway. Amen? That's what we're talking about. That's your heart condemning you. And knowing what? All things. But it says, beloved, if our hearts condemn us not, then have we what? Confidence towards God. Tonight, sad to say, many of us don't have the confidence towards God we should have because our hearts are condemning us. And because we know that within our souls, within our spirits, we're not right. We don't want to really approach God because we have no confidence. Amen. The next verse reads, and whatsoever we ask We receive from him because we keep his commandments. Whatsoever we ask God, we receive because we do what? Keep his commandments. We're not just a hearer of the word, but we are a doer. Amen. And do those things that are pleasing in our sights. Amen. I'm glad y'all are reading that. Yes, you're paying attention. You do the things that are pleasing in whose sight? Now, you make your own gut check tonight. When we have subtle regression, we do not seek to please God. We do not seek to do the things that are pleasing in his sight, but we walk according to our own will, our own expression. All right, 2 Peter chapter 2. Don't go back to Galatians yet. We're going to get to Galatians, all right? 2 Peter chapter 2. Once again, we do the things that are pleasing in whose sight? God's sight. Amen. Not my sight, but his sight. All right, we're going to go to verse 10. Verse 9 talks about God delivering the godly out of temptation and reserving the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But he gives, then he gives some of the characteristics of the ungodly. Those that walk according to their own will. Amen. He said, but chiefly them that walk after the what?
Flesh.
Amen. Brothers and sisters, the minute we get out of the spirit, and we start walking in the flesh, we are classified as being ungodly. Because our minds are not generated, our minds are not governed by God, his word, or his spirit. But it's being governed by our own fleshly desires, our flesh in the lust of uncleanness, and despised government. It says, presumptuous are they in what? Self-pleasing. So the opposite of pleasing God is to be presumptuous and self-will or self-pleasing. The moment we choose to please self in direct opposition to God, we are regressing. Amen. And God does not have the value or the place in our life that he should have. Now let's go back to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. What are we talking about? We don't want to regress. Don't give those appetites of the flesh expression. You know, sometimes the devil will try to turn up the heat to try to get us to go back. Amen. God is calling us forward. Notice Jesus always says, come. You can't come going backwards. You gotta come going what? Oh, amen. Jesus says, come. Well, you can't come if you go back. The only way you can come is to go what?
Forward.
Amen. Great. One reason. God wants us to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty where Christ has made us free. Amen. God wants us to stay in this liberty. And the only way we can stay in the liberty where Christ has made us free is by being obedient to his word. Now the opposite of being in Christ and in liberty and in obedience to his word is to become entangled again. The flesh desires to entangle us. Desires to get us to go back. Amen. When we stay in Christ like we ought to be, if we pray and come to church and fast and do the things that God has required of us, we will be standing fast in that liberty. But the minute we stop, we become entangled. It means to be entwined. It means to let the flesh once again have expression. Amen. We do not want our flesh to have expression. We do not want to be in opposition to God. We want to do the things that are pleasing in his sight. Verse 2 reads, behold, I Paul say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ profiteth you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is destined to do the whole law. He's doing with the Judaism and the law and the conflict with being saved. Amen. It's not the law as we know it. It was then the greatest religious influence was the law. That law was in opposition to Christianity or Christ or what we call now grace. Amen. But today, there is still another law. And Paul says, warring against the members of my body. Let's go to Romans chapter 7. Then we'll come back to this. Go to Romans chapter 7 real fast. Hey, I didn't bring my clock so y'all can know when it's 8:30. All right? Because I don't want to. All right? Just imagine you put me in one of those saying I'm long-winded. All right? You gotta stay on course. When you get off course, you're just gonna mess it up. I got no head in this out. And Penny, you laughing at me too? Oh, okay. All right, that's good. No. Amen. All right, let's go to verse 4 of Romans chapter 7. Todd, you laughing at me?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't think so. Thank you, Jesus. Listen, we want to stay in Christ, and we want to stay on course. The only way the devil can ever get us off course is to get us to act in disobedience. Amen. First 4 read, wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of
Christ.
When we got saved, that old influence should not have the preeminence over us anymore. All right, go to verse 5. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of what? Before we got saved. The flesh has the motions of sin. When we got saved, God and the Spirit had to suppress the motions of sin, but it's still in there. Amen. It did not come out. Those motions of sin are still evident in our flesh. Amen. So it says, the motions of sin which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit. But not in the... We do not want to regress. Amen. God wants us to walk in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. For what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. I have not known sin but by the law, for I have not known lust except the law said, thou shalt not covet. But sin taking occasion by commandment wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law, sin was dead. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be death. This is leading up to what we're going to go to. Keep on. Come back. I did love this one. Come back to that. For sin taking occasion by commandment, what? And in the moment we allow our flesh to have expression, it will deceive us. Once again, subtle regression is a deception. It's a gradual progression backwards without being aware of it. It is a deceit. When you're deceived, you do not realize it. It's like a seduction. Amen? Next verse. Wherefore the law is holy and the commandment is holy and just and good. Was then that which is good made death for me? God forbid. Next verse. Keep going. He says, just to get down to this point, he said, for that which I do not allow, what that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, God saved our souls. But that motion of sin is still evident in our flesh. So Paul, as great of an apostle as he was, he said, what I don't want to do, I find myself doing. And then what I want to do, I find myself not doing. Keep going. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that doeth it, but what? Who is this talking? The greatest apostle of all is still there. If you don't control it, it will control you. Those appetites, those desires will find expression. Amen? He gives us an answer though. He says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. God saved our soul. God cleansed our souls. He did not take away the filth of the flesh. So all of those old appetites before you got saved, even after you got saved, if you went back and then God cleansed you up and gave you a fresh start, you have some new bad appetites. Every time you turn around, those appetites are seeking expression. Say, I'm not going to do that. And you say, oh, what happened? That flesh is trying to find expression. Like I said, alcoholics are some of the greatest examples. They won't even be thinking about alcohol, but let's get around someone to just the smell. Will create an urge. It will create a fight within them. Let's use this for instance. You ever see some people, they just go haywire crazy when the wrong thing come on TV and they just have to close their eyes and run the other way because that was a fight that they had before they got saved. And because that was a fight they had before they got saved, they tried to protect their weakness. So now they're saved when those things happen, and instead of allowing that to have a dominance or influence, they will go away from it. Why? Because that appetite is still in there. When you get saved, as Paul said, that appetite for sin is not out of your body. Put yourself in the wrong place, in the wrong mindset, and see if it don't express itself. Amen? We do not want to have what? Subtle regression. The only way that we can have subtle regression is by not pleasing God and seeking to please ourselves. The greatest challenge to the child of God, being what God wants them to be, is to say like Paul said when he realized how wrong he was. He said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? Amen. And even when God forewarned Paul, the dangers, the challenges that were ahead of him, he said, I'm not only ready to suffer, but I'm ready to die for the name of Christ. He was sold out. Tonight, saints, if we don't sell out to God, if we don't surrender our will to His will, we will eventually begin to regress. In Christ, either you will get closer to Him or you will draw back from Him. Peter says it this way. He says, humble yourselves. Amen. Because God resists the proud, but He giveth grace unto the humble. He said, submit yourselves to God. Then resist the devil and he'll flee. A lot of us are trying to resist the devil, but we're not submitting to God. If you want to fight the devil, if you want to overcome, you must first submit to God. Not you and God, but our God. So many people are submitting, but not submitting wholeheartedly to God. Amen. You know when you do the wrong thing, because when you go home, your conscience will beat you up and down and all around. And then for you to feel all right, you go tell somebody, oh, well, you're all right. God forgive you. No, you know. You don't need anybody to tell you. Your conscience is a mean of either. Excusing or excusing. And let me run through this real fast because I know it's close to 8:30. For I know that in my flesh is born no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good? This is who?
Paul.
Amen. For good that I would do, I do. I don't do it. Why? The motions of sin were still prevalent in his flesh. But the evil which I would not, that I. Amen. But then he gives us a remedy. Next verse. I find in a law that when I would do good, evil is what? Distance away from me. Far away from me. It's what? Present with me. I believe if it happened to Paul, I don't know how we can get by. Amen. The next verse reads, for he said, but I delight in the law of God after the inward man. That's why he later he was saying, though my outward man perish, my inward man is renewed day by day. The law of the inward man, the law of the conscience, the law of the soul, the law that God can cleanse up because he cannot clean up our flesh. We will not reach perfection until we are like him, until we see him as he is. As long as we're in the flesh, the motions of sin will be present. The only way those motions do not have expression is we must stay in Christ. Next verse reads, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my. When you try to do it by yourself, you're going to have a battle. Amen? He said, and bringing me into what? Captivity. If you don't get in Christ like you should be, that sinful nature, that sinful body will bring you in captivity. You will be bound. You will not be able to get out of it by yourself. Bring me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my. Is in there. That did not die when you got saved. Oh, wretched. Hallelujah. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? But I, hallelujah, thank God through Jesus Christ. You can only do it how? Through Jesus. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of. You got to serve God. Let's go back to Galatians chapter 5. I'll finish up here. And even if something else comes to my mind, I won't do it. I won't go back to my notes. What time is it, Deacon?
18.
18. Oh, okay. 12 minutes. Thank you, Jesus. I don't call out the names because my tongue gets tired and twisted. I don't want to do all these.
Amen.
What? Everybody, Lexus, you laughing too? Jeez. I feel like I'm a laughing stock. This is Dolly. Oh, this is Dolly. Yes. Got someone on my. Sorry, Michael. Amen. But seriously, we need to really get back to God like we should be. Let's go back to verse 3. And I go through this quickly. I'll do it in 12 minutes. It says, for I testify again to every man that is circumcised, he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are. Lord, we don't ever want to fall from grace. Amen. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor earth, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Jesus said, if you love me, do what? Keep my commandments. And then he said, my commandments are not grievous. It's not hard for you to do my will. It's not hard for you to fulfill my will and desire and for you to keep my commandments. He said, it's not hard. It's all according to our minds. Amen. If there first be a willing mind. And the devil knows that if he can get your mind, he can influence you the wrong way. So our mind has to be willing to let God work in us. Ye did run well. He said, who did hinder you that ye should not? Now, is he writing to the world or to the church? The church. Yes, in the church, people can hinder you so that you do not obey the truth. Don't allow anyone to put that kind of influence on you spiritually so that their talk will get you to disobey God. You know, in church, and whether in the church or the world, everybody will tell you, well, if I were you, I would do it this way. You should say, well, thank God you aren't me. Mm-hmm. Amen, because I don't want to do it that way. I want to do it God's way. That's the only way that counts. So if you're not telling me to do it according to the scripture and the word of God, then I don't need your help. Amen. Lead me back to Christ. This persuasion cometh not of him that God called us. We got to go by that persuasion. Said, a little leaven does what? Leaven the whole lump. Some people say, well, I only messed up a little bit. Well, leaven is symbolic of sin, or it really represents yeast. All right? All of y'all, most of y'all know how to make biscuits, right? Anybody ever make biscuits? You put leaven in it, which is baking powder. If you don't put no baking powder in it, you don't have a biscuit. You have just a hard piece of flat corn cardboard. Right? So if you put just a little bit in it, it leavens the what? The whole batch. Amen. So he said, well, all you need is a little bit of sin. And if you don't stop, arrest, or correct it immediately, it will continue to work. And before you know it, your whole body will be infected with the disease of sin. Amen. So a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. Now can you go down to verse 16? This I say then, this is the remedy to not allow sin to have dominance and control of us, or to not allow sin to reign in our body. This is the necessary steps that we must take in order not to regress spiritually. In order, some of the regression, once again, is you're going back to a former spiritual state, which is before salvation. But the problem is you do not realize it, but the devil knows it. You know, so what he does, the devil won't do it all at once. He gives you a little bit here and a little bit there. You know, it's like I had this kid when I was a kid. I was too smart, I guess. But I learned to be smart. This is how subtle it is. This guy was a devil. I didn't realize. I was go find it. I said, man, you're safe. S-E-T-E-N-O. So this kid said, I want to sell you, like, I don't know, so many marbles. He said, I'm going to sell you all these marbles for like $5. I'm like, man, I am not paying $5 for all those marbles. So he deceived me. He said, okay, let's say it was 100 marbles. He said, okay, if you don't want to give me $5 for 100 marbles, then you know what? He said, well, I can give you 20 marbles for $1. I said, yeah, okay, I'll do that. That's better. So then a little while later, that little snake, he said, you know what? He said, you look like you have fun. Why don't you buy you another 20 marbles for $1? I said, okay. That snake was getting my $5. Before I knew it, I spent $5 and had all the marbles. I said, I was deceived. He was subtle. He tricked me. But that's how the devil do us. He won't come and try and get us to do it all at once, just get us to buy a little bit. Right? Then he say, oh wow, you enjoying that. So I'm going to give you to buy a little bit more. Then before you know it, he sold us the whole sin package. And we don't even realize until we are on the outside looking in. All right. This I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the what? Lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit, as long as you're saved, you're going to always have that devil, the flesh and the Spirit. And these two are what? Contrary to one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you can't allow that flesh to have expression. Amen. That's why it's so important that we pray. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, he said, I keep under my body. Amen. That means that I beat my body. You know, your body does not want to just give in to doing the right thing. It wants to always have the free expression that it used to have. So when you try to do the right thing, that old nature is fighting you, trying to get you to do the old thing. So Paul said, I keep under my body. In other words, I bring it into subjection to the will of God. I do not allow it to have expression. He said, lest after I have preached to others, I myself will become a castaway. Means I will become unprofitable for God. I will be of no value to God if I allow my body to express itself the way it wants to. I become completely invaluable to God. He said, these are contrary one to another, but if you be led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh, skip down to verse 22. Actually, go down to 24. It said, and they that are Christ are what? Crucified the what? Flesh and the what? And they're still there. Amen. If you don't control them, they will eventually control you. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also. Walk in the Spirit, just keep a godly mind. Amen. Everything you do, approach it with godliness. If you live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. Amen. In the book of Romans, Paul also talks about the flesh in the Spirit, but he deals with the carnality of the carnal flesh. Amen. And he talks about how the carnal mind is the enemy of God. Amen. When we're not spiritual, when we get caught up in self, that becomes the enemy of God. And the scripture said, when we are in the flesh, we cannot do the things that are pleasing to God. Amen. And when we get in the flesh, we begin to go back. Amen. Somebody said, well, how do you know? Just think of those times when you didn't pray like you should have prayed. We all have had some low point spiritually. We've all had some down point spiritually. We've all had some point spiritually. Amen. That when we recover, we look back and say, Lord, my soul looks back and wonders how I got over. Amen. The devil had me spinning. He had me running. He had me going the wrong direction. Paul says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Tonight it's time for us to put on the whole armor of God, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in the higher heavenly places. Amen. He says, therefore, having done all to stand, have you done all to stand? Having done all to stand, stand therefore, having on, having your loins girded about with truth. Amen. Only the truth can set us free. Amen. Having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your sheep be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and taking the shield of faith, where you should be able to quench what? All the fiery darts of the wicked one. The devil is constantly throwing his darts, constantly trying to all set us. Amen. But most of all, we must have the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereto unto with all perseverance for one of our, is a part of our weaponry or armor. Tonight, the only way that we will not subtly fall back into being influenced by our fallen mind is you must walk in the Spirit. The greatest indication of walking in the Spirit is that we do the things that are pleasing in God's sight. Amen. Tonight, let's make a gut check. The scripture said if we would examine ourselves, if we would judge ourselves, we would have no need to be judged by God. Salvation is so important to allow anything to take us away from God. Salvation is so important to allow anyone to hinder our spiritual walk. If the Lord were to call us tonight, would we be able to say with a resounding, yes, Lord, that is well with my soul? That's the only thing that counts tonight, that is well with my soul. I might not have the greatest bank account. I don't like what I live, I don't like what I drive, and I don't like what I wear, but I can say that it's well with my soul. You know, as the ministers come forward, you know and God knows. The most important thing tonight is that we can say well with my soul. If you cannot say that, don't walk out of those doors without prayer. Amen. It's time to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Not a dependency on myself, but our dependency tonight must be on God. If you need prayer, the altar is open. Amen. If you need prayer, the altar is open. If you don't need prayer, then thank you, Jesus. If you don't need prayer, can we all say thank you, Jesus? Come on, say it like you don't need it. Say thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Help